Holly Black is a fantasy writer. She's best known for writing the Spiderwick Chronicles, a series of children's books which follow the Grace children, who discover a world of fairies. Black's latest book is The Good Neighbors, Book One, Kin. She told Anne Strangechamps what she thinks children get out of reading stories featuring magic or alternative realities.
One of the things that I think that fantasy can do that is the thing that interests me the most about fantasy is that you can look at something that you might look at with realistic fiction and sort of turn it on its side and be able to look at it in a different way. For instance, if you think about anger, we all experience anger. We all experience the kind of anger that maybe makes us afraid we're going to say something or do something that will hurt someone. But if you look at a creature like a werewolf, you know, this is a creature that once a month turns into a monster that hurts the people closest to it. As a metaphor, this literalizes that feeling of anger. This literalizes anger. And it says, okay, we're not going to talk about why you're like that or why we have these feelings or how to stop them, but what happens then? How do you deal with it then if you just say, okay, this is anger, and this is me being a werewolf, this is this. You know, we're able to look at it from a totally different way. And I think the same thing is true if you look at something like a child who is adopted and you say, well, I feel different. I feel different from my family. Well, if you're a changeling and you're actually a fairy who's, you know, had the original child taken and, you know, you're left in their place, you don't have to ask, is this a bad feeling or a good feeling? This now literalizes it. It lets you look at it, you know, and we all feel different in different ways. And that alienation, again, look at being an alien. You have shows on TV like Roswell, which say, okay, let's literalize it. What does that mean?
That's interesting. You're sort of suggesting that there's a powerful role for the imagination here in terms of our own kind of mental health and self-acceptance. The biblical scholar Karen Armstrong likes to talk about how in our secular culture we've forgotten to cultivate what she calls the religious imagination. I'm wondering, do you think there might be such a thing as a magical imagination?
The religious imagination, let me make sure I understand this, is about the idea of sort of that we all myth make, that we all need a sort of sense of ourselves as important. Is that how you would characterize that?
I think so. And I think also an awareness of our ability to feel transcendence and the development of a language for that. I think she would say that our secular culture has forgotten, first of all, to tell people that experiences of transcendence and a sort of plugging into something bigger and vaster than we are is sort of part of our birthright, and then we've forgotten to help people articulate that.
I don't think that necessarily the magical imagination is so different from that, in the sense that the idea of a mythic self or a mythic structure to our lives, the idea of sort of looking to the myth-making process that casts us as the hero on our own individual journey, I think is very much rooted in our sense of culture. And I think whether it's secular or religious, I think largely depends on your view of religion. But I think that we all, as people, participate in magical thinking, which is very much about the idea of magical imagination. We all, perhaps not all of us, but I think in our dark hearts, we all believe we have a lucky tie or lucky socks. You know, we all remember if we ate toast and jam before each time, you know, some good thing happened at the office. And we think, oh, well, you know, I want something good to happen. I'm going to eat toast and jam now. You know, we create rituals, even if we know they're silly, that are very much about the idea that there is some magic out there that we might be able to harness. You know, we all sort of look out of the corner of our eye at things and think, what is that? You know, could there be something out there? Could the world be bigger and maybe scarier, but also more interesting?
So now, is that a good thing or or not such a good thing? Because I'm thinking we have such ambivalence about this tendency. You know, we also call this superstitiousness, and psychologists will warn clients not to slip into magical thinking. But then we also all go out and buy books like The Secret, which tell us that what we think about, we can make happen.
I mean, you know, I have a friend who always says, you know, everyone has a ghost story. And I think that we are pattern seekers as people, and we are interested in a world that is bigger and in which we have some power. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that is. It is how we are as people, and I think fantasy can speak to that in a way that isn't about patronizing or isn't about, you know, just embracing superstition, but it is about sort of questioning the ambivalence. And I think really good fantasy has a certain degree of ambivalence about it. Really good fantasy talks about magic as something with cost and something complicated.
I'm curious about your own view of sort of the nature of reality. I mean, has writing fantasy stories and participating in this genre changed the way you think about the way we perceive reality? I guess what I'm asking is, do you write your stories because you wish the world had more magic in it, or because you think it actually does?
Well, actually, I think that one of the reasons that I write about fantasy is I was definitely raised with a very strong idea that the world was full of things, magic, that all this stuff was true. When I was a kid, my mom, you know, very much believed in ghosts, very much believed in magic. You know, when I was a little kid, I would ask her, is there anything out there? Are things going to get me? You know, what about whatever's outside my window or under my bed or in my closet? And she was like, well, you know, that stuff probably won't get you.
That's but, not a very you know, reassuring she, answer.
but she absolutely didn't say that stuff isn't real. You know, she definitely believed that there were things out there that could menace you. And so I grew up with a sense that this was all real. And so being an adult was very much about questioning all of the stuff I had grown up believing. So for me, I guess like anyone who has a childhood that's seeped in some tradition, it's very easy for me to go back to a place in which I believe all this stuff is real. It's very easy for me to invoke that place. I remember running home from my friend's house because I thought the trees would reach down and grab me as I ran to my house.
You said when you grew up, you kind of had to reevaluate that view of reality that you had when you were growing up as a child. Was that hard? I mean, did that amount to a kind of crisis of faith?
Absolutely. It was definitely something where I had to say, so how much of this was real? How much of this was true? You know, it's a very strange thing because, you know, I think people have parallel experience where they question the religion they were raised in, or they, you know, but I think very few people question the sort of weirdly mythic version of reality that I was raised with.
But I mean, how do you feel about that now? Do you think that you grew up with a lot of lies, or do you think that you grew up in an enchanted world and that that was wonderful?
I think my mother was honest. I think this is a world that she very much believes in. So I don't think I grew up with lies. And I think that there were a lot of things about it that were really wonderful. I mean, I remember she created this scavenger hunt from the fairies. And, you know, I had an awareness that she was part of it. And, you know, she was not constructing this in some kind of trap-like way. But I remember, you know, she had created it. And then I went around and did it. And while I was going around, I would look in all these sort of knot holes in trees. And I really believed that even though I knew she had sort of created the scavenger hunt, that I was finding evidence, you know, that fairies were real. And that was really wonderful and really magical and something that I really remember. I also remember that my mom told me that if I had an out-of-body experience, that I should be really careful because something else could get into my body and walk around with it. So I should really be careful of that, which terrified me. It terrifies me to this day that I might somehow accidentally have an out-of-body experience and be possessed. So, I mean, there's two sides to it. But it's very easy for me to get back into that frame of mind.
Tell me something about the particular mythic tradition you work in, fairy legends. What was it in particular, do you think, about the fairy or that fae world that drew you to it?
I think that my first experience of it, my mom had this coffee table book called Fairies by Brian Froud and Alan Lee. And I remember looking through it, and the fairies in it, they were dangerous. And the stories about them were frightening. And the thing that I found so fascinating about it is we have this idea of fairies as sort of glittery little Tinkerbell-like creatures with wings. But in fairy traditions, people wouldn't even say the word fairy. because they would be afraid of getting their attention. They would call them the good people or the little people or the people of peace, not because they were good or little or peaceful, but because they hoped that by saying that, they would flatter fairies into, you know, not blighting their crops, not stealing their children, you know, not bothering them. So the more I read about it, the more I became just really interested. The other thing about fairy that I really, really love is that the stories of it, they're like ghost stories in that they have no end. They're just this weird story of people experiencing this strange world for a moment and then sort of it receding. And the idea of the sort of numinous and the magical being right up against our mundane world fascinates me. There's this great story in this book by Dermot McManus called The Middle Kingdom. And Dermot went out and he interviewed people about their real experiences with fairies. And one of the stories that he was told is about this guy who built a house. And he was supposed to have consulted the local specialist who would tell you where it was okay to build your houses and, you know, where the fairies wouldn't like it. But he didn't do that. He just built his house. And he heard this banging and knocking against one of the walls every night, like a train was going by. But, you know, he was in the middle of nowhere. There was no train. And so he finally belatedly goes to this fairy specialist. And the fairy specialist says, well, you know, you built your house on a fairy path and they don't like that. And he was like, well, what do I do? And they were like, you know, this person was like, well, you're very, very lucky, because you only built a corner on the fairy path, so cut off the corner. And so he went back and he cut off the corner. And there's this great picture of this house with the corner cut off. And that's what he did. And thereafter, there was no banging and knocking. But what there was this, every now and again, this sound, like a great whooshing of wind past that one corner.
Wow.
I love stories like that. They make the hair stand up on my arms.
Holly Black is a best-selling fantasy author. Her latest book is called The Good Neighbors, Book One, Kin. Black spoke with N. Strange Champs.